It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MLS UK show. I'm Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by
Elliot Holman in a rainy UK.
Yes, if you're watching the YouTube video, you can probably tell by now that I am not at home. It's a lot sunnier, even though you can't see the window. You can probably tell with me just wearing a t-shirt that it's a lot warmer here in Spain than it is back home in the UK. I feel sorry for you, Elliot. I really do. I really feel sorry for you.
No, you don't. Look how natural the light is there as well. I'm in a room with no windows. Like, this is all just completely from like LEDs, and it's so cold in here. So I am a broadcast professional, as you know. It's been many years working together, many years of the podcast. But I am just drinking a cup of tea because it's actually essential just for the warmth.
Of course. Well, we are here to talk about MLS, of course, not about the temperatures in the UK and Spain. Now, it's been an interesting few weeks. We've not done an episode for a few weeks, so there's a lot to catch up on. As usual, Elliot, we'll text each other before we record and we'll say, who do you want to speak about? And you straight away, you've got a few teams you want to speak about, but the first one was LA Galaxy. The way they're going, we might have to change the outro to this podcast because they might be getting that sixth MLS Cup.
Yeah, how strange is it? We'll talk about the West in general as well, but some different teams at the top of the West, which I am really here for. It's really exciting. Since we've been doing this podcast, we've championed the fact that it's way more exciting than the Premier League. You kind of don't know. It's like the equivalent of Brentford could just go and romp the league. I know Leicester did it once and it was the biggest story ever. And the reason it was the biggest story ever is because it never happens. I feel like, you know, we've really championed that. It's what I love about a new season of MLS. Who's going to be at the top? Now, in our time, I'd say pretty consistently, LA Galaxy and Chicago Fire have really disappointed us. Admittedly, for different reasons. I think LA, because they're five-time MLS champions. And so they're always just like there or thereabouts and falling short. Chicago have been consistently pretty poor. LA Galaxy have turned it around. Chicago haven't. LA Galaxy could be the real deal this year. They could be the real deal.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get some explosive matches from them. I mean, at 4-1, to then go to 4-3 and nearly draw against San Jose at the weekend in the 100th Cali Clásico, I'll point out. Yeah, it was box office football, and it's great to see. And I think this is it. We've spoke before this season about this new LA Galaxy. They've kind of passed the mantle to, or passed the baton to, into Miami with the sort of aging superstars in MLS. LA Galaxy have gone, right, well, that's your thing now. We're going to kind of go a bit more youthful, a bit more energetic, a bit more pace. And some of the goals, especially the fourth one, you know, on at the weekend against San Jose, the counter-attacking is fantastic, and it's just really good to watch. It's really energetic, and you can tell in the crowd as well at the stadium that the fans seem to be on board and back, you know, back supporting the club, because there were a few years where it really got rotten at LA Galaxy. So it's refreshing to see this.
Yeah, and they've played four games at home. They haven't lost yet. They're not the only team in that position, but they've picked up the most points. They're averaging 2 points a game. That's really good. That's a real turnaround as well. Even for a side that were finishing fifth, sixth, whoever that may be last season, to now be picking up 2 points per game is really, really impressive, really strong. Arguably a few penalties in there, few spot kicks. Maybe there's still more to come from LA Galaxy. But I think this has been a really, really strong start. And to be fair, I can't remember the last time that I felt confident that LA Galaxy were a better side than LAFC.
Oof, that is a big statement to make, my friend.
Fair though. When even since LAFC's conception, when have you ever thought our Galaxy could be the better side here?
Never. I'll give you that. I don't know. I think ask me again in a few months. Ask me after League's Cup when the league settles down a little bit. LAFC, I think, are very strong. They've proved that the last 2 years. Galaxy are getting there. They're much better than what they were, but better than LAFC? I don't know. I don't think I can agree with you on that one. But I am here for Galaxy being at the top of the conference. I've got to say, it's so refreshing to see, because we have been used to just failure from Galaxy. They've only got in the playoffs since we've been doing this podcast a few times. They've missed out on the last game a few more times. And then in recent years, they've just been dreadful. So I am here for it, but I would probably still say that LAFC are ruling that part of the country at the moment.
So, yeah, this is the thing. You were sitting on the fence a second ago. So you honestly say, right now, you have to back one to finish higher than the other, you back LAFC.
Yeah, I think the experience of the last few years, this Buanga is firing at the, up front again. Yeah, I think LA, this is it. LA Galaxy have had a great start and I'm here for it. But let's see how they develop. Let's see how it goes as they continue throughout the season. Get a few more injuries, maybe a few difficult away games in succession. The League's Cup will have a big impact on how the season is when everyone comes back at the end of July or August or whenever it is. But yeah, I'm still going LAFC, a ruling.
It's a juicy start this already. I mentioned Chicago. They're in that group of teams that haven't really ever impressed us. It's not to say they haven't ever been good, but since we've been doing this podcast, Chicago have struggled consistently. Anything indicating that might be different this year?
Yeah, I think we're back to agreeing with each other right now, because they are dreadful. That performance at the weekend, 4-0 at home to RSL. RSL are playing well. Arango is fantastic. We spoke about him on the last episode, how well he's doing. And now there's even more calls for him that he could be MVP. He's above Messi and Suarez in the goal scoring ranking. So he's doing really well. But I mean, make him work for his goals. I mean, the two goals they conceded at the weekend was defender passed it back straight to him and he put it in. Free header from a corner. You can't be doing that to the league's top scorer. And Chicago, you're right. They've been poor consistently for years now. And there's not even had any bit of brightness about them. That just a bit of a spark that you think, oh, maybe you could turn it around. It's just been awful. And it's continuing at the moment. And when you look at their roster, I'm not saying they're going to be challenging for MLS Cup, but there's some names in there where you think they should be doing a lot better, surely.
It's interesting as well, because I'd say after 3 or 4 years of the podcast, we'd say about Chicago, awful start from Chicago again. And Chicago fans would get onto us a little bit. We'd get a little bit on social saying, stop saying that about Chicago. Even they've given up now. We're just consistently correct about this. It's a pretty easy one to hedge your bets on. Saying that, I've already emphasized, we like it when things are mixed up a little bit. We like it when things are switched up and different teams are at the top. Like at the West, top of the West at the minute, LA, Vancouver, RSL, and Colorado, who's another team that I messaged Henry about. And maybe, I don't think it's going to be yet. I don't think it's going to be during this episode. I don't even think it's going to be this side of League's Cup. But I think there could potentially be a serving of humble pie.
Chris Armas, I'm not even going to throw this back to you. I said it as well. We both said that we do not rate Chris Armas the team is good. They've signed some good players, but then they're being coached by Chris Armas, and it's working at the moment. And you know what I think for me is the fact that Colorado, they seem to be fighting for each other. They seem to be really, you know, everyone's behind each other, and they've picked up some strong results. And yeah, it seems to be working. So I'll have a slice of that pie with you, mate.
I'm trying to think if there's anything we touched on Arango. I did a little bit of comparing his numbers from when he was at LAFC to his season at RSL so far. In 9 games with RSL, he's basically already at where he was at in any other season in MLS. It's incredible. He played 34 games for LAFC in 2022. And even then he got 16 goals. He's already got 8 in 9 games. So it's looking like that mixed up top of the West is on course to stay that way as well.
Yeah, and Vancouver, got to mention Vancouver. I've got a soft spot for Vancouver. A mate of mine, John, who lives out there, goes to watch the matches. And, you know, we put a video on our Instagram talking about Arango a few weeks ago. And he commented saying, like, what about Vancouver? Talk about Vancouver. Well, John, they went to Seattle and won 2-0. I mean, a lot of stuff went on in this game. Obviously, Seattle didn't end the match with 11 men. But Vancouver went and put in a really strong performance. White, Gold were the goal scorers, and they've got some decent names there. They've got some good names up front. And I think Vancouver, this is the year. Again, are they going to win MLS Cup? Probably not. But they're going to make the playoffs if they carry on the way they're doing. And Vancouver have been that team for years that have kind of been maybe going into the last few games with a little bit of hope of getting the playoffs and perhaps just sneak in, but then don't go much further, or they'd miss out. Well, this year, they're carrying on the way they're going. They could actually win the Western Conference, which would be a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, and again, something we're here for, seeing different teams winning Supporters Shield, winning trophies, winning the conferences. I agree. Really, 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 really strong so far. And at what point does Seattle's reputation fall away? Do we stop giving them chances? You know, been a strange couple of years for Seattle, and it's not been a fantastic start. Are we just admitting that that's it? We're in a different era with Seattle and Portland.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Seattle at the moment. We started the season by saying what a squad they've got, and they do have a great squad. I mean, you probably get to a point. There's a few head coaches, obviously in Seattle with Schmetzi. You've got Peter Vermees at SKC, who we'll talk about in a moment. You know, you've and a few others where you're thinking, I mean, there's only Jim Curtin actually that is consistently at the moment, the last few years, putting in strong performances. His team are seemingly getting better. You look at others and think, is it time for a change? And Seattle now is, I don't know, they've just had such a disappointing start to the season. But you can't rule them out. And this is the thing, is that you think with Seattle that they've started badly, but if you show me this league at the end of the season and Seattle are in the playoffs, I would not be shocked one bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think we just always kind of expect them to come good. And same with Portland as well. I think we've talked about Neville not really being the correct appointment. We were maybe wrong about Chris Armas. It's not looking like we're that wrong about Neville at Portland. Strange game the other week when they went to SKC and were looked dead and buried, and then came back. Questions over both sides, I think, in that game. And you wanted to touch on SKC anyway.
Yeah, I did. I mean, just a note on Phil Neville. I think for me, when he's starting to call decisions disgrace and seemingly blame other factors, that is a bit of a worry for me. But he's unbeaten in 3 games. I mean, they have drawn all 3, but he's unbeaten in the last 3 games. So I guess there are positive aspects for Portland at the moment. But SKC, I think what worries me is the fact that the leads they're getting, that they're just throwing away. It's not good at all. You can't do that in any league, let alone MLS. And MLS seems to be a bit more forgiving with the way it's set up and the way the playoff system is. But, you know, you look at the games they've done that you know, and you just look at the weekend against St. Louis, this massive rivalry that it is now, now that St. Louis are in MLS, and they've dropped points when it was there, the game was theirs going into the 92nd minute, and they've, you know, I just think the mentality at the moment of the players, who are a very experienced team, they've got the oldest squad in the league, so they should know better. They should know how to see games out. The game management should be a lot better than what it is for me. So yeah, it's the one thing I'll add to this, and before you give me your opinion, is the I watched Peter Vermees' his interview after the game, and the thing for me, the worrying thing for me, is he kind of just said, oh yeah, we still got a point. Yeah, it was a good performance. You know, he's not worried about game management. I don't know, for me. That's a bit worrying, because you want a bit more from your head coach. You've just thrown away a derby game in the last minute, and to come out and say, yeah, but we drew, it's fine. I don't know. I'd be wanting him to kind of not go in on the players, but kind of give a bit more in the interview afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anyone should ever settle for a point. I think, you know, even if you're widely regarded as the weaker side, if you're the away side and you think, oh, point here would be good, if you play the game and you get a point, then you were good enough to go on and win it. Like, you know, I think I completely agree with you, and I think there's moments in seasons where you can just count teams out. And for me, recently, that's been those occasions with SKC. Maybe you weren't expecting them to go and win MLS Cup, but for me now, they definitely don't. They're those things, the indicators that show you they haven't got it. They haven't got what it takes to grind out a result, because we're seeing it week in, week out currently. That Portland game was absolutely wild. How you throw that away, I have just absolutely no idea. That's just not acceptable, and that's just a team that unfortunately don't go on to win anything this season. It's just a fact. Like, that's the indicator right there.
Yeah, I will say, because it does feel like we do, you know, it seems that we're not Phil Neville's biggest fans. I mean, to go and get a comeback, to coach a team to come back like we did at SKC is a great achievement. So we will give him that. But you've got to really look at SKC for that and think, how have they managed to throw away that lead, and then to do it a few more times as well this season. A lot needs to change. And his home matches, you know, when you look at the weekend and like the LA Galaxy game, the home matches as well, that's where they should be strong. And yeah, it's not quite happening for SKC. But we'll see as we go into the next few weeks. We're actually going to bring a new feature into the podcast of our team to watch before the next episode. So who knows, SKC could be that team for one of us, but we'll reveal that at the end of the episode. One thing for me from this last weekend I want to bring up, and has been refreshing, I don't know how you feel about it, I know it's what happens in NFL, it's been brought into MLS, is that the referees are starting to explain VAR decisions now. VAR seems to have been, well, it has been all over the place so far this season. And I've got to say, this is refreshing for me, watching the action at the weekend. Of course, it was big in the Seattle-Vancouver game, also the Galaxy game as well. What do you think of it? Because you're a big moaner about VAR over the years. You have been, you've been critical of it, as well as actually being positive about it. How do you see this? Is this for the benefit of the game?
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, I think VAR as an idea is fantastic. I think it's been implemented better in MLS than most leagues around the world. But then there's been moments where they've really got it so horribly, horribly wrong, or wasted it, or still failed to come to the correct decision. That happens all over the world. But MLS were an early adopter of VAR. I think people have their opinions. Do we need it? Don't we? For various reasons, it's taking too long or whatever. It's getting in the way of the natural, beautiful game. One thing I think we can just all agree on is it's here now. So we've got to make it work. And so the way to make it work is to show the VAR decision, the replay in the stadium. The fans have to be able to know what's going on. Explaining it to the fans in the stadium, because they're the ones who are in the dark, and that's crazy. And then explaining it, letting us hear it, hear the communication. Why are these decisions being made? Because it can educate all of us. We all think we know the rules. We actually don't. They've changed so much in the last few years, like, I'll hold my hands up. Like, I wouldn't want to go and referee a game. I don't know the rules anymore because they've changed from what we grew up with. So I think we can all argue whether a VAR is a good idea or not. It's here, and I think we can all agree we need to be seeing replays. We need things to be explained, and whether we agree with the decision or not is another thing, but at least we understand what decision has been given, why a goal's been disallowed, why a red card's been taken back, why somebody's now, you know, having an early bath and their team are down to 10 or even 9. I think it's just, that's the basics that we should have implemented at the start.
Yeah, totally agree. And I also agree with you where you say you wouldn't like to referee a match. I mean, I've watched Norwich with you. I've been at a stadium with you and I've heard the stick that you give from the side of the pitch from the crowd. So yeah, I would reiterate that. I'd hate to be a referee. But no, yeah, you're totally right. It's great, and it's great for TV. And I mean, it's a lot more of a case for US sports than here in the UK. I think, you know, a lot of US sports are made for TV, and MLS with Apple is going that way as well. So to be sat at home, watch the action, and then to be told, well, this is why we've done this. You might not agree with it, you might agree with it, but I think it just adds to that, you know, in watching it. And I think it's great. It was really refreshing this weekend. The Seattle-Vancouver game obviously was prominent there with the sendings off, and it was... Yeah, even though you looked at the sending offs, and for me, obviously, they were sending off, it was just refreshing to see the referee go, check it out, go, yeah, I agree, sending off, let's move on. So, yeah, it was great.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right, one more thing from the weekend. We've got to mention this. Prince's goal for Toronto. What a finish this was. What are you calling this? It's like a mid-air sidekick? How would you call it?
Yeah, what do you call it? Because also, I'm just so, like, I can't stop watching it and just think he's getting absolutely clattered by a defender as well. Like, it's like no one's even talking about the fact that he's absolutely wiped out, like potentially getting a penalty. Yeah, I don't know. Like, is his foot actually behind the other one? Like, I don't really know. You can watch it and watch it and watch it and actually just still not really compute what's going on. But one thing that I do know is he's come out and said, I absolutely meant to do it. Fair play, mate. No one's going to argue with you. And it's just an incredible bit of ingenuity that you can't think. No one's brain is that quick. Like, it's just instinct. He's just done that. And that's just a sign of an incredible footballer. So I can't wait to see more from Prince.
Yeah, I think it's 3 goals in 2 games now he's scored for Toronto, and he's really starting to cook now, which is great to see. And he's, you know, I think he settled in a bit when he signed last season, I think it was, or midway through last season. But yeah, fantastic finish. And I when he heard that, when he said, yeah, I meant it, I was like, yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was a great goal that you absolutely meant. So yeah, the Prince of MLS has proved it. He's proved his name at the weekend. Right, well, I teased it before. We're going to talk about it now. Go looking ahead to our next episode and the action that's happening in between that. Who's your team to watch? Who have you got your eye on in the next few weeks, whenever we get around to recording again?
So you mentioned this, and it actually wasn't a difficult decision. And this is going to sound really, really lazy, but I really mean this from the heart. Okay, my team that I've chosen is Orlando. And the reason I've chosen Orlando, I know, pull all the faces, I know, yawn. The reason I've chosen my side, Orlando, is because I've been watching their games. Orlando are, for me, outliers in the standings. I think, much like last year, I think they come from deep, and I think they're going to finish quite highly. Performances have been good, created loads of chances. So I think if you want a little bit of a surprise for performance versus standings. I think Orlando are the side. And again, yeah, I know you might think, oh, well, easy pick, but I really mean that. I think you'd be surprised if you watch Orlando, and they've got the likes of Maguire just sitting on the bench now, and that's showing you that the roster's really, really improved significantly. He can come on and save them if he needs to, but they're definitely trying to move in a direction that doesn't include Maguire, because they know they're going to lose him at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say it'd be interesting to see how he dealt with what happened in January, but yeah, I don't think we're going to see much of him before he moves eventually to Europe. But yeah, the Cardiac Cats are back. I noticed that. I mean, great mentality to come back when you go 2-1 down in the 87th minute, I think, to Montreal, to then get the draw. Was yeah, they're showing signs that, and I think that's important. I think that's the thing. We've seen the bad side of Orlando against Miami this season, but we've also seen a lot of good sides. So now I'm with you. They can come from deep, and we'll see where they get to come the end of the season. My team to watch, New York Red Bulls. I think that any team that are kind of within touching distance of Miami, it'd be interesting to see how they do. Red Bulls have had a few poor seasons for their high standards, really. And they've obviously got Frosberg, who scored at the weekend. But they're picking up some decent results. And to go away to LAFC and get a draw as well is no mean feat. And yeah, I'm just intrigued to see how this can carry on. Because the East is strong this year. And if Red Bulls sustain it and end up being in the top three or four, they would have had a hell of a season compared to recent years. So yeah, Red Bulls are my team to watch.
Good pick. I think as well, just looking at the standings now, I haven't got last year's to compare it to, but it feels like at this point, Red Bulls, like you say, doing really well, sitting in second behind Miami, but drawn four games, tied four games, and sitting second. That feels a little bit strange. I don't know if it's just because maybe there's sides like Miami who are really, you know, handing out some beatings to teams or whatever. But 1-4, drawn four, and sitting second. It just feels like at this point of the season, not losing is putting you in a really strong position.
Yeah, and that's it. That says a lot about the league at this early stage, which is why you shouldn't be looking too much into some of the performances, which I'm not saying about LA Galaxy, but I am saying, come on, let's see how the season ends out, and I'm sure LAFC will come good. But we end on how we started by discussing the LA Galaxy and LAFC. Is change your mind over the course of a podcast? He's still going for LA Galaxy better than LAFC at the moment.
Well, yeah, you've just hit the nail on the head at the moment. Yeah, they're the better side at the moment. It's fact. Fact. Check the standings. Factual. Stats okay. Only on here.
We'll continue this chat after this episode. But that's it. We have come to the end of this week's MLS UK show. I want to say as well, just at the moment, that because I know that we've been very stop-start this season. Our socials as well have been stop-start. And I know that you know, a lot of you are very loyal to this podcast, and we really appreciate that. And we don't want you to feel that we're letting you down in some way. But our personal lives at the moment, as you know, we've both had kids, are very busy, and we are trying, and we're trying to do it when we can. And it's so funny, isn't it, Elliot, that when you have kids, and anyone who's watching or listening to this will know who are parents, it suddenly is the littlest thing, the smallest thing, can just derail the whole recording. Yeah, so I just want to say, for all those who are still listening and still watching on YouTube, thank you for sticking with us. You know, we will continue this podcast, we'll keep going, and yeah, even though at the moment the last year or two has been disrupted, the MLS UK show will be back stronger than ever very soon. But yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, and you know, I echo that, and that's why I won't be having any more kids. So I don't want to ruin this podcast anymore. So you know, if Henry decides to have another one, have a go at him. He's the one who'll be ruining it then.
Well, my son is teething at the moment, so the plan was maybe to have some more, but while he's teething, it's suddenly going to, don't fancy doing this again. But no, it's we love doing this podcast, and we will continue to do this podcast. So thanks again for everyone's support and getting in touch and being a part of it. If you want to rate the podcast, if you have enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy the podcast, then please do. It really does help. But Elliot, there is one rule and one rule only.
Best team in LA. LA Galaxy style. 5 stars only.
If you watch it on YouTube, please like the video. Click subscribe if you haven't, and the notification bell as well. We really do appreciate that, and it does help us, and it helps us get the podcast out to more people who might be on the fringes trying to find an MLS club, thinking, oh, I want to get into that league. And then they see MLS UK show, and they then suddenly part of it. So your support and your help with watching the video and listening to the podcast really does help. But for now, that is it for this episode of the MLS UK show. I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.